This will be the first conference in a series on a prophet of the priesthood. In other words, the conferences will be on the priestly spirituality and apostolate of Father Gerald Fitzgerald. In the opening conference, I plan to cover the following areas by answering three questions. First, why should we give a whole series of conferences about the priesthood? Why concentrate on the priesthood? Second, why speak specifically about Father Fitzgerald? And third, what is Father Gerald Fitzgerald's explanation of the crisis through which not only the world at large, but with emphasis, the Catholic priesthood is now passing? We begin by asking ourselves the first question. Of all the subjects in the Catholic faith, of all the mysteries of Christianity, why selectively concentrate on the Catholic priesthood? Now, first of all, there is no Christianity without the priesthood. There is no Catholic Church without the priesthood. And whatever else people need to hear, and I believe I have a duty to speak about, it is the crisis to which the world at large, and with emphasis the Catholic Church, the crisis, the gravest in her history, which the mystical body of Christ on earth is now undergoing. Well, if the Catholic Church is undergoing a profound crisis, it would be passing strange and frankly impossible if the priesthood, which is an essential part of the Church, were not also undergoing a grave, critical, I don't hesitate saying, revolution. Let me quote from the present Holy Father, Pope John Paul II. He is speaking to the priests in the Catholic Church, urging them to resist the most seductive temptation of our day. To resist the temptation of conforming to the world. Says the Holy Father, what the people expect of their ordained leaders is above all a priestly personality that witnesses to a world beyond this one and to values that belong to eternity. Priests should not be deceived. Sometimes people may want priests to be, as the expression goes, like them. At times the people even seem to demand this of priests. Says the Holy Father, a priest must be on his guard. It is very easy to let oneself be guided by appearances and fall victim to a fundamental illusion about what is essential. Those who call for the secularization of priestly life and applaud its manifestations will surely abandon us if we give in to the temptation. Unquote. Pope John Paul II. We asked our first question, why talk about the priesthood? Because to talk about the priesthood is to talk about Jesus Christ living and acting in this world. And of the mystical body of Christ, of which Jesus is the head, he is going through such a grave siege of seduction by the philosophy of secularism. Everything in the Catholic Church depends on the strength of her priesthood. So much for the first question and a much too brief answer. Second question. Why speak about Father Gerald Fitzgerald? We begin by observing that over the centuries of the Church's history, she has gone through many grave struggles and conflicts, even struggling for her survival in more than one country. But every time the Church is faced with a major convulsion, God raises up leaders to not only preserve the Church, but marvelously to enable the Church, we might almost say because of the conflict, to rise stronger and holier than ever. I believe, Father Gerald Fitzgerald. He is such a leader. And notice, I use the present tense, his. Because in the world of the Spirit, his, if anything, more alive today than he was when he was still on earth in his body. And lest anyone should think that maybe either my choice of these conferences, or quite frankly, even being here in Hamath Springs, is somehow the result of the persuasion of the handmaids of the precious blood. Let me assure my audience, that's not true. Father Fitzgerald entered my life long before I met the handmaids of the precious blood. The crowning achievement of his life, Father Fitzgerald's life, was not only to inspire the foundation of two religious institutes, but, as I know by now, having motivated thousands of people to pray, sacrifice, and labor for the preservation of the priesthood in the Catholic Church and for the ever greater sanctification of those whom Christ ordained. Father Gerald wrote and spoke extensively on the apostolate, watch this, on the apostolate to priests. He also wrote and spoke extensively about the apostolate for priests. Those two prepositions are crucial to an understanding of what I call his priestly spirituality. Having said this, I think a logical consequence follows. His message, which I will try to, in my own way, elaborate, synthesize, and explain in this series of conferences. His message, I believe, is meant by God to be a source of extraordinary grace to whom? To three classes of people. First, to bishops and priests, motivating them to live up to the high demands of their episcopal and priestly vocation. Take my word for it. I know of no more difficult vocation on earth, because I know of no group of people whom the devil is more concerned to seduce from Christ for whom do I believe the message of Father Gerald's spirituality is to be a source of grace? To religious men and women, inspiring them to offer their lives of consecration for bishops and priests. And I would especially emphasize to inspire religious women throughout the world as spouses as they are to the virginal Christ to give themselves unstintingly in their lives of sacrifice for those whom Jesus Christ ordained, and except for whom, except for his priests, Jesus Christ would not be on earth in the Holy Eucharist today. A third class of people for whom I believe Father Gerald's message should be a source of extraordinary grace, the Catholic laity. That they might be enlightened about what the priesthood means. That they might be inspired to offer their lives, often heroic lives, in today's secularized world, by inspiring them not only to pray and sacrifice, but in a way that only the laity can do, to provide, to help, to serve priests, whether individually or collectively. Helping priests. How we need, how desperately we need the moral, spiritual support of the faithful to keep us going. And when those among us fall by the wayside, to help us return to the Christ who ordained us. So far, question 2. Before I go on to answer the third question, remember the question. What is Father Gerald's explanation for the crisis in the Catholic priesthood? Talk about being prophetic. The crisis had already begun when he was called into eternity. But surely, only the Holy Spirit could have enlightened Father Gerald in anticipating what would take place since Father Gerald has been called to his reward. In our own beloved United States, we have lost over 10,000 priests from the active ministry since the Second Vatican Council. Vocations to the priesthood in our country have fallen beyond anything in the history of our nation, approaching a 90% drop in vocations. My own apostolate from most of my priestly life has been teaching priests and those in theology studying for the priesthood. I know hundreds of priests personally. I know the struggle they are undergoing in one diocese after another, priestless parishes, once flourishing, but no more. Whatever else I want to share with you during this series of conferences, I want to be sure that we keep our feet flat on the ground. Father Gerald's explanation for the convulsive crisis through which the priesthood is passing in our day is the explanation for the convulsion through which all followers of Christ are now experiencing, so that his explanation of the crisis in the priesthood is meant for all of us. First reason, says Father Gerald, the first reason for the crisis in the priesthood is the rise of a militant secularism. Breathtaking scientific progress. Affluence, surely in our country, such as no other nation has even dreamed of. Priests, says Father Gerald, have been affected by a philosophy that sees no meaning to life beyond the grave. What's the answer? This is Father Gerald. The answer for priests and for all of you is a deep, and Father Gerald means deep, faith. Let me quote a short prayer that Father Gerald made. O Lord Jesus, increase our faith, and thank you for our faith. I believe in one God. I believe in a Father who created me. I believe in a Son who came out of the happiness of his Father's bosom to share my life and to invite me to share his life as a victim, host, and priest. Unquote. Father Gerald. There is a crisis in the priesthood because there is a crisis in the church. And it is first and most fundamentally a crisis of faith. Second explanation of Father Gerald. Why a crisis? Because of the neglect of prayer. I will keep repeating as we go through these conferences, although the immediate focus will be on the priesthood, to inspire all of us to pray, sacrifice, and insofar as we can, to labor for the preservation of the Catholic priesthood. Words I didn't use 20 years ago. For the sanctification of Catholic priests. But everything that I will share with you applies with emphasis to everyone listening to me. Why a crisis? Because of the neglect of prayer. Let me quote again, and by the way, this is going to be my formula during these conferences. I will never try to steal Father Gerald's thunder. I am giving the conferences, but I trust, I am confident, he approves what I am doing and is helping in a way that only one who I am sure is with God can assist. Father Gerald, the greatest problem we have in the lives of the priests is neglect of prayer. They tell me that they forget. They were so busy building churches, running bazaars, taking care of clubs, that little by little prayer went out of their lives. How does this apply in our lives? If you are going to be successful in the spiritual life, you must fall in love with the business of prayer. Prayer must be not a burden, but a joy. Unquote. Father Gerald. I've said over the years, my principal apostolate from most of my 40 years of the priesthood has been training and teaching priests. What we've just heard Father Gerald say, I can assure you, is factually, absolutely true. Over the years, I've stopped counting the number of volumes of Martin Luther that I have read. And much I've remembered. I especially remember one letter in which he wrote, I am so busy, I don't even have time for my divine office. I know of no priest, I repeat, I know of no priest who has been unfaithful to his priestly calling, who has been a man of prayer. Third reason, Father Gerald believes that there is such a cosmic crisis, my adjective, in the priesthood today is because, along with the neglect of prayer, has been its counterpart, a neglect of union with God. Father Gerald, at length, goes through the history of what he calls the great priests of the church's hagiography. Every one of them, the great apostles, have been men busy indeed, but always intimately united with God. And I can second Father Gerald's observation. Unlike Father Gerald, my business for most of my 40 years in the priesthood has been teaching professional, to give of that word, theology. So I've got a big theological vocabulary. Which says nothing about my knowledge of the faith. Father Gerald understood his faith. But in theological terms, what Father Gerald was telling priests is that you will be as effective instruments in the hand of God to bring souls to Christ as you yourselves are united with Christ. What they call in theology spiritual procreation. God uses holy people to reproduce themselves. Finally, Father Gerald, as we'll point out in the course of our conferences, was especially concerned about those priests who, having struggled and fought, have fallen. But once a priest, always a priest. And he was pleading with the faithful, pleading with those who are not priests, to practice charity toward those whom he calls the poorest of the poor. Quote Father Gerald, "There is no one in the world so poor as one who does not understand how rich he is." And so in working for those who are in the state of not appreciating their priesthood, we are working for those who are, and it's underlined, the poorest of the poor. We know that Jesus Christ has stamped these souls with his own image. And so we know, without having any visions, that what we do for them, we do for Christ himself. Christ is imprisoned in their souls, and we can help him to open the door and set them free. It is impossible to exaggerate the importance of inspiring the faithful to pray, sacrifice, and labor for all Catholic priests, but especially for those who are estranged from the Christ who ordained them. Let me conclude by making this observation. There are many apostates in the world today, all worthy of our dedication. It was, as you know, Mother Teresa, who I believe coined the expression some 35 years ago. It's in her constitutions and the fourth vow that her religious take, as I know from almost 15 years of teaching the members of her community. But I also know that no matter how exalted the practice of charity toward those who are physically poor, there is no comparison with the charity that we're called upon to practice toward those who are not only spiritually poor, but spiritually destitute. In God's providence, I firmly believe that God is allowing his priests to go through such a traumatic experience as they've never been tried before, in order to draw out of the faithful such generosity as they have never practiced before. As the priesthood goes, so goes the church. Lord Jesus, you have instituted the sacrament of the priesthood. We beg you, dear Savior, for the sake of those whom you have ordained, to give them the grace, dear Jesus, to remain faithful to their priesthood. For those who are struggling, to be willing to pay no matter how heavy the price. And for those who have fallen, dear Jesus, we mean every word we are saying. If need be, dear Savior, we offer our life's blood for the salvation and sanctification of your priesthood. We trust, dear Savior, you will accept our offering so that, living out Father Gerald's spirituality, we will bring his message far beyond ourselves to the world that is begging for holy priests like you, dear Jesus. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.